Good morning.
Morning.
Believe it or not, the Passover warrior is meditation. So this morning we will teach you another meditation. If you watch some of those Chinese movies, Chinese warrior movies, sometimes you see that a lot of those people who became warriors, they were monks before. They spent years and years in a monastery meditating and they became warriors. Or the other way around, they are warriors but spend hours and hours and hours and hours in meditation every day, or take of time, 6 months or a year or 2 years to meditate. In other words, the way of meditation is very much part of the warrior culture. It's just that nowadays, when you look at, say, the martial arts, the art of meditation is, it's a kind of a side issue, a little bit maybe on the side you do. You know, maybe breath control techniques or a little bit of sitting quiet or something like that, but not as seriously as the old schools used to do. For the old warrior schools, meditation was number one. And you will see why it is so important, where meditation is very much part of the integrated life of the warrior. Nowadays it isn't. Nowadays it's more like competition, performance-oriented and competition. See, the old-fashioned idea of the warrior was a spiritual destiny, spiritual enlightenment or spiritual realization, or the path of the warrior was a way of realization, in the same way as there is other ways. There is the mystical way for the religious people, and the way of the yogi, the way of the Zen, the way of the Buddhism, all kinds of ways which were for people who wanted to attain enlightenment or find the ultimate meaning of life, or find what it's all about, what we are doing here on this earth. But the way of the warrior was also a way for the same objective, to discover who you are, what you are, discover the meaning of life, discover the meaning of existence and so on, but through the path of the warrior. And one of the most important aspects of that warrior path was meditation. Otherwise, if you follow the modern system, it just becomes a one massive competition and excitement and who is better and how many belts you got and how many degrees you passed. And it becomes like a competitive, aggressive sort of a thing. Because the modern schools of warriors, they've forgotten what warriorship is about. It's not about competition, it's about self-realization. It's about understanding your destiny. It's about understanding who you are, about understanding what's happening to you in life. It's more an internal reflection. And the warrior path is simply the means for it, you know, the technique for it, the way of it. Anyhow, this morning we'll take another one of those warrior meditation exercises. The important thing about the warrior kind of meditation techniques that everybody can do it. And I have to stress this idea that everybody can do it. Men and women, old people, young people, of any nationality, of any belief system or no belief system. Communists can do it, capitalists can do it. And because everybody can do it, it shows that it's something to do with the fundamental nature of human beings. Because, you know, there are a lot of techniques, like some of the Buddhist techniques, like Tibetan Buddhism, for instance, or some yoga techniques. You actually have to belong to that culture to really kind of go into it and appreciate it. So you find that some religious techniques like Hindu or Muslim or Christian, even Christian religious techniques or Jewish or Buddhist, you really have to be born in that culture, in that society. You have to have your inner mind sort of saturated with that particular expression, and then you can do it. So a lot of these so-called enlightening techniques, you have to actually belong to that particular culture, like you can identify with it. So what we're trying to say is that the techniques I teach are basically based on nature, based on how a human being is, and therefore applicable to every human being. And that's the beauty of it. You don't have to be converted from one religion to another, or one kind of society into another, or one kind of belief system or another, or one culture to another, because it just works on yourself as you are. Okay, and this one, which we're going to do this morning, is also one of those universally applicable ones. Now, with this particular technique, the beauty of it is that you can do it anywhere, anytime, any place, without any restrictions. There's no, you don't have to have a special diet, you don't have to say special kinds of ritual before or after, is nothing special. Just as you are now, sit there and you can do it. Anyway, anytime you can just sit there and do it. So it's based on the fact that inside us we already are immortal. Inside us we already are self-realized. Inside us already we are divine beings. You don't have to create it, you don't have to make it. It's just simply letting go so that you become it, so that you realize it. So it's so basic. What you are going for is already there. It's just that you're covering it up with all kinds of things, okay? So it's so simple. If you remove the covering, you are there. So anyhow, this particular technique we're going to do this morning, I'm going to explain it to you full and then practice it so that from now on, anytime you can do it. However, one thing is that you don't do any spiritual techniques while you're driving a car, or while you're driving a tractor, or while you're doing other things. You know, the way we teach meditation, you always do one thing at a time. When you are writing, you're writing. When you're talking, you're talking. When you're meditating, you're meditating. Whatever you do, focus always on that thing which you actually do. And everything that what you do becomes a meditation. So you have a formal sitting when you say, okay, I'm meditating, but you're also meditating on all other actions, also you are 24 hours a day. But each time focusing on a single event which you are engaged in. Because otherwise, there's a wrong technique where you're trying to abstract yourself and remain in a kind of a transcendental condition all of the time, no matter what you do. Well, this is dangerous and it doesn't work. You know, when you drive a car, you focus on the road. When you're sitting for an exam, you're sitting the exam. In other words, you don't split your mind into all kinds of activity, just that single thought what you have to do. And then after a while, everything becomes just meditation. Anyhow, we're just letting you know that somehow the problem of today's society is precisely because people are so busy. You know, in the olden days, if you belonged to a martial arts school and you said to the big master or chief or whoever it was, hey, I'm taking off 6 months, so I'm going to meditate in such and such a monastery. He said, okay, goodbye, see you 6 months' time. Or, you know, if you were a monk and you decided that, well, I'm going to do training somewhere else for 3 years, well, then you went off and, you know, that sort of a thing is not applicable today. You know, the ancient past was very slow. You did it in your own time, in your own measure, as it flowed for you to do. But nowadays things are very, very busy. You know, you can't say to the boss at work, well, I'm going to take 6 years off because I'm going to meditate. And the boss says, well, okay, you go 6 years without payment. And then your family says, hey, you know, we want food, we can't have you meditating for 6 years. Like the whole way society is arranged today is different. We have to be always active, always busy, always making an effort towards some direction or another. So we have to reevaluate our whole structure, the way we deal with spirituality. We have to kind of rethink it and do it which suits the modern way of life. Okay, so this morning, another very, very important warrior meditation. First, the basic understanding of comprehension behind it. This one, emptying the mind of ego is meditation. The background means a universal understanding, a universal perception from which that meditation comes or from which that meditation is derived. Well, this meditation this morning, emptying the mind of ego is meditation. You might not be able to relate to our definitions of meditations because normally, nowadays, again, as I said, the whole science is degenerated, and nowadays when you sit down and relax, that's called meditation. There's all kinds of relaxation techniques, relaxing your body, relaxing your mind. Relaxation techniques are called meditation nowadays, which of course have really nothing to do with meditation. Anyhow, so we're coming back to fundamentals. Emptying the mind of ego is meditation. First of all, understand that meditation is actually another condition of being. It's not your normal thinking process. And this is where a lot of people fail, including a lot of the occult or esoteric schools, like the schools of Kabbalah and Tibetan Buddhism and many forms of techniques which are actually based on thinking or based on imagination or visualization in itself, for itself, or based on thought structure. you know, like thinking about truth or thinking about beauty or thinking about God, and you develop those thought patterns. In Kabbalah you do that a lot, kind of thinking about various meanings and various things. So a lot of the techniques which are called meditation are really not meditation. They actually work the other way around. They engage the mind. With any form of true meditation, like yesterday, the awareness technique and this one, it's actually the idea is to empty your mind, not to fill your mind with thoughts, no matter even divine thoughts or beautiful thoughts or thoughts about truth or something, not even that. It's actually reverse. It's emptying your mind rather than filling your mind with things. Anyhow, the emptying of the mind of ego is meditation. So, what's the ego? The ego, or the self, the little self, notice there's also a big self. That big self is your soul or spirit, if we're not dealing with that. The ego is the little self. Now, that little self is what we are normally functioning in, you know. It's the complex mechanism of your physical body, the breathing processes, the life force, the thinking faculty, the feeling faculty. The thing which we normally use as a human being. The little self is your body, it's your mind, it's your emotions, your feelings, your reactions, your memories, what you call your personality. That's the little self, the ego. So emptying the mind of the ego is meditation. It already tells you what you have to do in this form of meditation. You empty your mind of all the little personality stuff. Okay, so to understand that meditation, you have to have a background understanding. First of all, you are that little self, you could say your personality. And your personality is simply a conditioning process. Okay, what does a conditioning process mean? Suppose if you were born in New Zealand in a Maori family, but you were born in Afghanistan in a tribe, one of the Afghan tribes. Now, you as a baby would have learned Arabic. You have seen some Arabic faces, and your dad would have a big mustache, a big beard, funny dress, and he would tell something to you in Arabic, and your mom said something to you in Arabic, maybe even had a veil over her face. And you brought up in that culture. And by the time you're 21, you think you are belonging to such and such a tribe, and you are a very patriotic Afghan person. Now, if the same you, as a baby, was born in Israel, you brought up with a very great enthusiasm about the Jewish state. In other words, what I'm trying to say is the country, locality, the family, the tribe, the nation you're born to, conditions you. It's not even you. Because if you're born in another country, your condition would be something else. You just think it through logically. If you were born in Hungary, your condition would be Hungarian. You, the same soul. It's not different souls. We're talking about you. You know, if you as a soul incarnated in Pakistan, you will be a Pakistani. If you are incarnated in Vietnam, you would be a Vietnamese. If you are incarnated in China, you would be a Chinese. You, the same soul. So what does that tell you? It tells you that the ego, the little self, the person, is a temporary construct. It's a temporary thing which you adapted yourself to and believe in. It's not you, the eternal self, the immortal, the everlasting reality. That is timeless, that's boundless, it's nothing to circumscribe it, nothing to limit it, no conditioning to limit it. That yourself, the soul, the spirit, is nothing limits it. Okay, so emptying the mind of ego is meditation. In other words, in this meditation form, you try to go beyond your conditioning, try to go beyond your sense of I, the ego, on the personality level. And after a while you get the sense you are not that limited little person that you thought you are. This is not a thinking process, we're talking about something else. In other words, first you have to understand that you are not your limitations, full stop. That limitation is temporary conditioning, and that's fine, there's nothing wrong with it. We don't say there's something wrong or not, we just say what is as it is. This lifetime you were born Maori, long time ago when we were in Greece, you were born as a Greek person and believed in the Greek system. When you were born in Atlantis, you were an Atlantean and believed what the Atlantean priests told you and so on and so on. Wherever you were born in the past, you identify with that mode of being. Wherever you will be born in the future, you will identify with that mode of being. Just think of it. Is there a reality in it? Is the actual permanence it? Every time you identify with a different set of conditionings, circumstances, can that be the real you? No. Put it another way. If you are an actor or actress and aiming for Hollywood, the interesting thing you do about the acting part is that you always identify with what? A part which is given to you. You know, there's yourself like that, and then you are told to play the naughty person. So you become that naughty person. Then somebody tells you for the next part, no, you be the goody person. Then you play the part of the goody person. Now, when you are an actor, it's an amazing training ground, but none of them quite realize it. It's a form of meditation. It's a form of real spiritual enlightenment, because you realize that everything is just an act. You're acting this part, tomorrow you will act the next part, next day you will act the other part, but who is the essential self? Who is actually the real actor, not the part you're playing? The actor is the real you, and that's unchanging, no matter what you're acting, okay? I always said, well, if these guys could really understand that acting is actually one of the most wonderful spiritual paths, they would need to sort out who is the permanent self who does all these changing acting scenes, and they would become enlightened. From my perspective, acting can be a most amazing way of spiritual illumination. If the actors realize that the acting is simply the temporary manifestation of an idea, but that which is permanent for all time is always the real self, the real being, the real actor. Now, if you could live in that and act that, you will be in a permanent state of enlightenment. You will be one of those enlightened masters or adepts, you know. The roles change, but who is the actor who is unchanging? The acting school is one of the most amazing. In the ancient days, it was like that. In the times of Greece and Rome, the acting school was one of the spiritual paths, because they learned to distinguish between who they are and who is the temporary thing they're supposed to be acting out. That continual differentiation and being in that real self all the time is the permanent enlightened state. So it's like that. The ego is that which is you acting. You acting out a certain part. That's your little self, the little ego. Now, in that meditation, we try to disidentify for that little self, the little part, and to actually feel and experience who we really are. Basically, in human nature, there's two sides to it. The one, you are born with this particular lifetime, which was very different than last lifetime, and if you are born again, it will be very different again. So it's kind of a temporary manifestation, but behind that, there's an unchanging reality. It's something which you always have been and something which you always will be. Something which was before the time of creation, something will last inside you at the end of creation. There's a permanence, an eternal reality inside you, and that's what you really are. Now, when you touch on that, then of course you become enlightened, you become a master warrior. And sometimes you see in these Chinese movies that warriors were on the verge of breaking through, they didn't quite make it. They might call it nirvana, or you may call it transcendence, but when you become a master warrior, breaks through that temporary situational position of what they are into, to realizing a transcendental, overwhelming one reality. A lot of those Chinese warriors portrayed on movies were in that state where they're not quite totally there, but they were on the verge of breaking through, and that's a very difficult condition to be, because they're still hesitating between the personality, self-expression, and that other supernatural reality. And you can see it in the movie how they kind of there, but they are still puzzled or not quite know what to do fully, because there's still that conflict between the personality self, interest, and that which is the divine or the ultimate reality in and around themselves. You know, there's a stage, and they still were in that stage. All right, we're going to do this meditation, and I'm going to guide you through it. And once you have done it, hopefully you will be able to just sit down and do it anywhere, anytime, any place, because everywhere you can disidentify yourself with your temporary manifestation. It takes very great courage, like on those Chinese movies. For instance, you're sitting your exam and you know that you haven't studied enough and you know that you're going to fail. Now, when you are doing the warrior exercise, you transcend that and realize that, well, that exam is only a temporal little manifestation of this time, space, situation, the moment, but you are beyond that. But if you haven't completely make it, you still be disturbed because you say, part of me is beyond that and part of me is totally unrelated to that. But at the same time, if I fail my exam, I get into big stew and trouble. So you are still in that stage of verging. Now, when you totally merge into the other side, you actually see that you're going to fail, actually see the value of failure, and actually you see what it is that made you fail, and also actually see how to remain peaceful and calm about it. There's a certain stage of warriorship where they go through this internal conflict, where they see everything, but they haven't quite understood the right reality of it, okay? But you will come to that as you practice this meditation. All right, so close your eyes. And just relax. I take you through it because it will help you that way. By the way, the name of this meditation follows through a principle. Now, the name of this meditation, sitting only, or only sitting. Very difficult, isn't it? All you do is just sit. Right. As I said, the most advanced stuff are the most difficult stuff because they're so simple. Sitting only, right. Close your eyes and just relax and just follow through the instruction. The purpose of the sitting only meditation is to empty your mind of the ego, of the self, of self-centeredness, of a personal sense of I, thereby to become aware of the universal I or the cosmic self, focusing on the larger reality than your little personal self-identity. Before you can think of others, you have to forget yourself. Sit on the heel posture or the lotus posture or any chair or whatever is comfortable for you. The objective of this meditation is to develop peace, tranquility, stillness, and harmony within your being. From the point of peace and silence within you, you will understand your life path in the correct way and deal with the problems of life as they arise in an easy and positive way. So the meditation is just sit still no matter what goes on in your mind, body, or emotions. I repeat it, just sit still, no matter what goes on in your mind, body, and emotions. After a while, the peace that is beyond all understanding will descend upon you. So you're sitting there and just sit. And of course, this may take some time and a lot of struggle, because as you're sitting, your body will be fidgeting, you want to do something else, your mind will be fidgeting, your emotions will be fidgeting, you will be noticing noises and all kinds of disturbances. And the whole idea is just sit still no matter what. No matter what goes on inside and outside, you hold your position. Sitting only. After a while, a peace that passes understanding will descend upon you. So when you went through that struggle of just sitting, and all these conflicts and everything which arises and goes on inside you, if you sit there long enough, you suddenly feel a peace which has nothing to do with the rest of the body, nothing to do with the tranquility of the emotion, nothing to do with a quiet mind. It's something like a supernatural power or supernatural force descends upon you and quietens everything, the whole universe inside and outside. Everything becomes just dead still and quiet. It's a supernatural peace. That's what the Christ was saying. My peace I give unto you. Not the peace of the world, but my peace I give unto you. It's a supernatural tranquility or peace. And out of that, you reevaluate life and everything else in a completely different way. So that's the meditation, and we're going to do, say, 20 minutes. And as I said, all kinds of things will come up. Just go push beyond them, doesn't matter what it is, and just sit. And that takes a lot of effort and discipline of the warrior. It's a real discipline for the warrior just to sit, no matter what happens, and see how you go.
Quelqu'un a?
You notice how quiet the room is. Believe it or not, the Buddha did exactly this meditation and he attained enlightenment, but he sat for a very, very long time, for several days. He sat down under this tree called the Bodhi tree, and he just sat, and he just sat, and persevered no matter what. His thoughts came up, pain came up, all kinds of things came up, and he just sat, and used his willpower, total willpower, sat, and after several days he attained the highest possible state of consciousness. But he had a tremendous willpower. Just letting you know that this is a very ancient form of meditation technique, and it works. As I said, you have to persevere under all conditions and oppositions which will come up in your mind, from your environment, from your body. So you just sit and sit and sit, no matter what. And after a while, the internal transformation can begin by nature. Nature will bring it about, not you. Not your thoughts or ideas. Nature itself will do the work for you. As I said, this is a very ancient technique and a very good one. And even if you just sit for 20 minutes a day, and then later into half an hour and an hour, you will actually begin to feel that it's not you doing the work, but something else inside starts working on you. It's the higher self within you, the divine self within you, start actually working on you once you enable it to work. Once you sit there long enough and empty yourself enough, you have to empty yourself, empty that sense of I, ego, you know, the mental fluff and activity, the emotional responses, reactions, physical, but you have to empty all that and have a clear space inside, and then the other higher reality start working on you. All right, so before we finish this morning, is anybody would like to say what you experienced? Any brave warriors brave enough to say? Yeah.
Just basically doing exactly what you said, sitting only. Sitting. No more, no less, sitting only. Only sitting, it's the kind of words that popped up every time I had a thought, sitting only.
Yes, sitting only, yeah. You can actually do that under a tree or on a rock or anywhere. I mean, Buddha, when he did that, he happened to find a tree. That's fine, but you can sit on a rock or you sit on a chair, sit anywhere. The idea is just sitting, sitting only. Even if you have no willpower, Buddha had a tremendous willpower to constrain himself in that position all the time. But even if you have no willpower, it will still work for you. It will take a little bit longer, it may take several months. But it's just the idea of sitting, because what happens, you have to understand from the occult point of view, when you sit your physical body, that in itself starts quieting the activity of the body down. And the longer you sit, you begin to feel that not only your body which is quieting down, but your emotions as well. And your mind quietens down by nature. It can be likened to a lake or a pond of water, and you drop a huge rock. Now, when the rock hits the water, it makes lots of waves. And as the rock sinks to the bottom, the waves become smaller and smaller until they disappear, and the lake is smooth again. The first part of it is like that big rock hitting the lake. There's all kinds of pains and scenes come up in your mind. But as the rock sinks further down, you become calmer and calmer, and everything just settles down, and then suddenly there's nothing. There's just a, what they call a settled state, samadhi. In Sanskrit, samadhi means a settled, a mind which is settled, which is stable, which is equalized, which is balanced. And once that equality or balance inside you is there, then as I said, the divine starts pouring in by itself. You're creating like a funnel effect, and the light, the power, the intelligence, the wisdom, the cosmic mind, just pouring in. We start asking, and you have to ask it. But it does take patience, perseverance, and the warrior skill of holding on to what you want to do.